of a wimpy kid. Well, while I read the review for that, just to make sure it was wholesome enough to show a clip and everything from it, I haven't seen the movie yet, but seeing that clip makes me want to. So, looks like it was taken from my life. Wimpy kid. Well, before we get into today's message, I just want to let you know about something that happened. I was talking about this at the early service in Scotland last week. Our own senior pastor, Randy Ream, journeyed there for his oral examination regarding his dissertation for his PhD. And I'm told that many people that face this grilling are told at the end of it, sorry, you know, try again later. They got to go home and start from scratch. Of course, we are praying against that for Randy. And what normally happens, though, to a lot of people when they go to this thing, I guess, is that they say, well, you need to make certain revisions, major revisions, then go back, and then we'll take a look at those, and, you know, hopefully you'll pass then. But there's some conditions placed there. But I was told by good authority that when our senior pastor, when our Randy was there being grilled, that after it was all said and done, they said, congratulations, sir, you passed with an A, you are now a PhD. So let's hear it for Randy. What's that? Sure, if you want, yeah. Yep. You can use this mic. Wow.
No, I just really want to take 1 minute just to thank you so much for all your prayers and your support and your emails and good wishes and everything else. It's just really, really meant a lot to me. I felt like I had you over there with me at the time. I knew that people were praying for me, and it meant so much. And what was really cool, I mean, you know, all this jetting back and forth, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep, and I'm still pretty tired and jet lagged, but while I was standing here worshiping the Lord, something happened. You know how when you're doing this flight kind of thing with the jets, sometimes your ears get clogged up? Well, while I was standing here worshiping the Lord, my ears opened up. And so I thought, well, this is the place to be. And it was great. So thanks again for your warm greeting. God bless you. And be up here next week.
All right.
Lord willing. Thank you.
Very good. Yeah, Randy's ears weren't so good because I told him what I was preaching on, and he thought that I was going to be speaking about animals' rights. He thought, I said, no, not Jesus heals a leopard. Jesus heals a leper. A leper. We're in Mark chapter 1 this morning, so if you want to get your Bibles out and open up, you will be ready. You'll have everything you need right there. You want to get your outline out, though. I guess you won't have everything you need. You want to get one of these guys, a pen. I've got mine. Hopefully my blanks are already filled in. Otherwise, we're in trouble. Well, I was actually planning on sharing this message last Sunday. As you know, Randy was going to be out of town, not last week, but the week before for this examination. But that cloud there from the volcano interrupted things. And so the message that Randy preached last week, as I was listening to it and being challenged by it, I thought this is very similar to the topic that I want to talk about, the trials and struggles in life. And so on Monday this week, I started writing something new because I didn't want to belabor the point of dealing with our struggles and trials. And so I started working on something new. But as I was doing that, I even shared with Leah, I said, nope, this is what I'm doing now. I was going to do this about Jesus and the leper, but I'm going to do this. But as I was studying, even toward that, the Lord just kept impressing on me, nope, we need to be talking about Jesus touching and healing this leper. And as I was praying over the prayer letter this week, the prayer request that came in during the offering last week, praying for our small group and the different prayer requests we have going on, and just working with some people and some counseling there in my office, it became very clear as to why we need to talk about this more than one time. Because there are a lot of people right here in our church family that are going through a lot of struggles, a lot of trials. We've got people facing serious illness and disease. We have people that just found out that a loved one has a threatening diagnosis. We have people that are out of work, about half a dozen people, families, that are struggling because they're out of work. We have some families that even though they're back to work, and praise God for that, answered prayer, they're still struggling to catch up. They've been out of work for however many months. And on top of it all, we have a lot of hurting family for families and relationships represented here in this church. I know our God's a God who answers prayer. We talk about this in our small group. We see Him answering prayer all the time. But that doesn't mean we're not facing struggles and trials over and over again in our lives. So last week we talked, Randy was talking about Psalm 29 and particularly about the perspective we need to have. They're having the right perspective in the storms of our life. Today we're going to zero in a little bit more particularly on our response to Jesus in our trials, in our struggles. So we're going to keep talking about these struggles and trials, but we're going to look at how do we respond to Jesus specifically during those times. And we're going to take a lesson from the story here out of Mark 1. And so let's drop in on Jesus now. Chapter 1, verse 40. Jesus has been, he's began his ministry of teaching. He's been driving out demons and healing all kinds of people with all kinds of problems. And now we drop in here at verse 40, which reads, and you can help me out with those yellow words when we get to them. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. In our discussion today about the trials of life, we're going to look at two most important responses to Jesus. You notice the main idea there. We'll get to that at the end. Don't think I forgot it. I didn't forget anything. I'm sure I've forgotten several things, but not that. Not the one thing we want to remember. All right. Well, the first most important response, first of two most important responses to Jesus is desperation. Desperation. And this is our response to Jesus' purpose. You want to write that down. And in fact, I want to give you one more thing to write down. I encourage you to write the word Savior in the margin. All right, next to desperation, our response to Jesus' purpose, write the word Savior. Jesus said this about his purpose in Mark 10. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus' purpose here on earth was to save us, to bring us back into a relationship with God. And so let's look at a few of the things that happen in this passage. First of all, we're talking about a leper. Leprosy was a term used for many different skin diseases back then, and so we can't know exactly which specific skin disease this person had, but we can know one thing for sure. If he was declared a leper by the priests, which is how somebody got this title as a leper, then he was cast out from the community. He was cut off from his friends and his family. No one goes to the house of the leper to see how he's doing and if he needs anything. In fact, he's not even allowed to stay in a house in town. Nobody emails or texts the leper to let them know they're praying for them, to let them know they care about them, because a leper was said to be under God's curse. The people probably would say, well, he probably did something to deserve it. Imagine how this man must feel then. He's hurting. He's struggling with this disease all day, every day. It doesn't let up. And on top of it, this man's abandoned and rejected by everyone. By everyone. I don't know every struggle that every person here is going through. But I do know that this leper can relate in some way to us. And we can relate in some way to him, whether the thing you're struggling with is physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, whatever that trial is that you're going through, or these trials that you do go through. In some way, we can relate, because this guy is struggling with, really, with everything, all of the above. Next, notice that he goes to Jesus. It says, begging him on his knees, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The Gospel of Luke and in Matthew, they add one extra word that's kind of important. Same story, but they included this. Mark didn't include it. He says, Lord, if you are willing. Now, the word Lord there, and the word for to kneel, because he kneeled before Jesus, each of these words can mean a couple different things in the original language. The word for Lord can mean Lord like we understand it, Lord God, right? That was used that way in the New Testament. But it can also mean sir. And that's probably how the leper meant it, you know, as a term of respect, sir, if you can heal me. The word for kneel obviously can mean kneel, because we see it there. But it's also a word used in the New Testament for worship, to worship. And so the text is properly translated here. I'm not suggesting something more than what's written. He fell on his knees physically and said, sir, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. But it's at least interesting to note, and I think that the original readers of this would have noted, that this leper, in his desperation, is behaving in a way toward Jesus more appropriately than he even knows, right? Because he's falling down on his knees and saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. That act of desperation put him in a position that is very honest and a true way to respond to Jesus, to worship him as Lord. And besides that fact, he's showing real desperation and risk here, because he went out to Jesus through the crowd. Imagine the reaction of the people around Jesus. There's all kinds of crowds following him everywhere at this point, as this filthy, smelly, poor, cursed leper runs through the crowd, touching people on his way, bumping shoulders with all the good and the healthy and the happy, shiny people. Stay away from my kids, you leper! Can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine what's going on? Somebody stop that guy. Get some stones or something. He's breaking the law. He's coming around us healthy folk. Imagine the embarrassment. Imagine the consequence when they finally do get a hold of him. And he's breaking this law and coming in around normal people, healthy people, with his disease. But the leper presses on toward Jesus and he falls on his knees. And he says, save me. If you are willing, you can. He said, can. He had faith. You can heal me. Desperation. Now, you may be like me, who has had some trouble in the past. I've had trouble calling myself desperate. I don't like that term. That doesn't sound like a champion who's finding victory in Jesus. I'm desperate. Sounds like I'm a wimp. Sounds like I'm in need. Sounds like God or Jesus is my crutch that I need to fall back on. And I don't like that sounding like that. But friend, I want to say this to you. Jesus is not my crutch. He's my ambulance. I am just fall right onto him. And I am not afraid to say that. You know, when I came to Christ for the first time, I was a teenager, and I wasn't really struggling with a disease. I wasn't rejected by friends or family. I wasn't going through that in my life. I was actually winning awards for some of my artwork at the time. I was planning on going to a university in California called Cal Arts University. I was going to draw for Disney one day. And I had the girl, I had a car, I was a singer in a band. I had everything a teenage boy thinks he needs to feel complete in life, right? But then a man showed up. In fact, that man in the white shirt right there named Danny, he showed up and he showed me what the Bible says about my sin. I had to come to grips with the fact that I've broken God's law and that God's a righteous judge. I don't mean righteous like righteous, dude. That's the California Chris talking. No, God is just and righteous, and he can't turn a blind eye to my sin. He can't say, oh, I know that you've sinned, Chris. I know you've rebelled against me with your life up until this point, but wink, wink, I'm going to let you into heaven anyway. That would make him a crooked judge. And as I was shown that in God's own word, in the Bible here, as Danny was showing me that, I started to get desperate. Because now, suddenly, when I'm standing in front of the creator of the universe one day, and he's looking at me, and he's saying, you've rebelled and fallen short of my standard, why should I let you into heaven? Having a girlfriend isn't that important anymore. Having the car, the singer, some kind of scholarship to a school or something, none of that is important anyway. It all falls away in comparison. And I became desperate. And I was sweating a little bit. Luckily, Danny didn't leave me there. That was the bad news, but he shared the good news with me. He said, Chris, God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus, who is perfect and without sin, to die for you. He took on the penalty for your sins and mine, he said, so that if you believe in him, you'll be saved. Folks, I grabbed onto Jesus that night like a leper in a crowd. I grabbed onto Jesus that night. It was about 8:45 on Wednesday, November 20th, 1996. And I grabbed hold of Jesus out of desperation because I thought, wow, this guy died for my sins. He took my, yes, I want to accept his payment for my sin and be restored into a relationship with God and escape hell and be ushered into heaven one day. If you're a Christian, you can relate to that story. You know that story. I didn't have to tell you, but it's fun to hear it from each other, right? And be encouraged on. But do you still go to Jesus with that desperation today? That's the thing. Do you still go to your Savior, out of desperation and cling to him when your marriage is headed for a crash? You did it once. You did it when you trusted in him. Do you do it when your marriage is flatlining? Do you do it when you get the bad, the terrible news about that diagnosis? Do you cling to your Savior and fall on him, fall at your knees? You did when your soul was hanging in the balance. Do you do it when your income, your livelihood is hanging in the balance? If you do, and when you do, Mark 1:41 says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man and said, I am willing. And he healed that man. People weren't allowed to touch a leper back in that day because it made them ceremonially unclean. But when Jesus touched the leper, he wasn't made unclean. The leper was made clean. The leper was made clean by Jesus' touch. And so we need to run to Jesus desperately in every circumstance, no matter how terrible. This is the right response to our Savior. That's what he's here to do, to save us. And praise God for it, because we need him. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your sin. And if you come to him humbly, he's not offended by anything you've done. He's just drawn near to you, attracted to you by your humility when you confess to him. And he offers you comfort, healing, and renewal. That's our Savior for you. Let's read on and talk about our second response to Jesus today. It says in verse 43, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Well, that's weird. That's not in the text. I added that. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Let's read just the next underlined word together. Instead. Darn it, leper. Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet people still came to see him from everywhere. Our second response to Jesus in our struggle, the most important response to Jesus, number two, is obedience. Obedience. Write that down. Write it down twice. Underline. It's already underlined for you. Write it in italic. This is our response to Jesus' identity, his identity. And in the margin, just as you wrote Savior about his purpose, I want you to write the word Lord with an uppercase L, all right? Not the sir kind. Lord. The leper who came to Jesus desperately as Savior and is our example didn't go out and obey him as Lord here. That's the other side of the story. Now, the leper here is understandably excited. He's been healed. He wants everyone to know it. I don't blame him for that, for being excited about what Jesus did in his life, wanting people to know about it. Maybe even hand out a couple of in your faces to the people that were rejecting him, right? Oh, maybe that doesn't sound nice. That's not right. I went too far. But Jesus sent him away, and he sent him with, it says, a strong warning. Jesus was being stern with this man. He said, don't tell anybody about this. Go right to the temple and offer that sacrifice that Moses commands for you to offer for your cleansing. Why does he do this? Isn't this a perfect opportunity for Jesus to get some free credit, some free press? Why all of a sudden is Jesus worried about the law of Moses? He touched a leper. I mean, that's against the law. Why is he all of a sudden concerned about this law? Well, let's take a look at a couple of these things. First of all, Jesus knows the man's excited. He knows the man's excited. He's in, I'm sure, excited for him. He's not a leper anymore. He's just healed from this disease. His life of loneliness and despair has evaporated, or at least has the potential to do so because of what Jesus has done. But Jesus, the guy who did this healing, the guy who made this all possible for the leper, he gave him some important orders. He gave him some orders that he didn't do. And so the guy who healed him, the leper, just disobeyed what he said. Jesus doesn't need hype to accomplish his mission. He doesn't need hype. He didn't heal this man. He didn't think, this would be a great publicity stunt. That's why I'm going to heal this guy. Crowds are around me. They're going to see it. And, this is a good way to start getting the name for myself. No, he did it. It says, Mark says it right there, out of compassion for the man. He didn't do it to raise awareness about himself and get kind of fame and fortune and all these things to come to him. Jesus did it because he was concerned about this man struggling with leprosy. Jesus wants genuine followers. He doesn't want people following. He doesn't want magic show groupies. He doesn't need people following him because he's got all the special effects going on. And so, no, he didn't want this person's free PR. Jesus does have real power, but unlike many of the false messiahs in Jesus' day, the miracles were not what he wanted people to walk away thinking were important. He had real power to do them, but they're not the important thing. They point to the important thing. That's okay. That's nice. I'm just glad it wasn't heavy metal because nobody wants to see me headbanging. All right. I know. Amen. Jesus says in his ministry, the miracles aren't important. What they point to is important. and they point to Jesus' identity as Lord, the boss, the Son of God. Later today, maybe during the cake auction, you're thinking, I'm eating this sub and I want a little reading. Read the rest of Mark chapter 1. Watch how Jesus, over and over again, how Mark emphasizes the fact that Jesus is Lord, his identity here. Watch how that's emphasized in his teaching, his authority, in his miracles, in his authority to boss the demons around and kick them out. All of these things are to point to him as being Lord, the boss, the Son of God. That's his rightful position. It's not about magic tricks. It's about obedience to our boss. Jesus said that the way to be saved or to become a Christian is to believe. I told you my testimony of how that happened. But of course, believe can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, can it? A lot of people say they believe in God, but they would define that differently. Well, I think reading the four Gospels, this is the way that I succinctly define that. It's very important for these 2 points today. I've got it on the screen. No, I don't. Now I do. Belief. The belief Jesus is talking about is to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Notice the bold words there. Trust. That trust is a synonym for belief, but it helps us understand what we mean by belief. Not just believing that God exists, but really believing in or trusting in him. All right? That's what the leper was showing when he came to Jesus and trusted him to heal him, to save him. All right? But now look at Jesus' identity and purpose here. To trust in him as Lord, as God, as the boss, as the owner, and as Savior, the person who died for your sins and rose again. Trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, Savior was the first part we talked about. And if you're just tuning in, Savior was the first point. This is Lord, putting him up as the boss of our whole life. It doesn't end, our trusting in Jesus doesn't end with when we were saved. It continues with the rest of our life. But we mess up in this point, don't we? We say to ourselves, yeah, Jesus saved me, and sure, the Bible tells me to do things in a certain way, but my situation's different. The Bible says that I should be behaving this way with my finances or with my marriage or with whatever it is that you need to be doing that you're not doing or things you need to stop doing that you are doing. But my situation's different. As long as I have joy in my heart, as long as I'm thankful for being saved, then it's not really important so much that I'm doing the work of following everything Jesus said. Wrong. Wrong. I've got it in bold and underlined and red here on my page to remind me that that is wrong. Wrong-o is correct. Why did Jesus tell this healed man to offer the gift to the priest as a testimony? Well, one reason. There's a few different reasons suggested by different scholars, but one of the reasons is that the priests were trained to diagnose leprosy. They were the ones trained to identify it and to label somebody as leprous. They were responsible in the law of Moses for pronouncing that person clean or unclean. It was their official decision that would get a person kicked out of community or welcomed back into community. And so Jesus, sending this person there to do this, is helping him to get back into community, to truly get the best of this real healing by being reconciled. And God is going to get the glory for this miracle. And it is going to come back that Jesus did it. And it'd kind of be an in-your-face thing to the Pharisees when they pronounced a man cleaned from leprosy and then they go and try to tell Jesus that he's not from God. There'd be some evidence against them, wouldn't it? But he doesn't do that. And so as a result, the man, this man here that was healed, is never officially declared clean, at least that we know of, which means he's probably going to face tough times for all the interacting he's been doing with clean people. Second, he may have thought he was helping Jesus by disobeying him, but now, notice there, it says that as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Because of his disobedience, the effect that Jesus could have been having in these towns was limited in a way. Now people still came to him. Jesus is going to do what he's going to do. But he messed up here. Thanks a lot, healed leopard guy. leopard, leper guy. Maybe that's why. Maybe I said it wrong. That's why it was misunderstood. Jesus told this man to do something, and it was for his own good. It doesn't matter what the man's rationalization was. It doesn't matter why this guy thought that he was, you know, doing a better thing to tell people about Jesus. The fact is, he wasn't obeying Jesus as Lord. So what about you and me? Because we make this tragic mistake in our lives. The Bible doesn't teach that every bad thing that happens to us is a direct punishment for our sin. It doesn't teach that. Some people have talked to me about that, and they say, I feel like God's punishing me, for something I've done, and I need to find out what it is that I've done. And sometimes bad things just happen. It's not like God is looking over us, just waiting to zap us, you know, as soon as something. However, when we trust in Christ, we're saved from an eternity of hell. And I do believe that God is definitely not afraid to let the natural consequences of our sin happen to us when we disobey Him. When we go out and choose to do things our own way, even as a saved Christian, He's going to let us face some trials. And so we can't stop everything bad that's going to happen in our life. We can't stop every struggle and trial, but we can stop some from happening. We can stop the things that we bring on ourselves. We can stop the ways we limit Jesus working in our lives by obeying Him as Lord, by doing what He says. Leads us to our main idea today. I hope you remember all of the points, including the main idea. But if you're going to remember one thing, this would be the thing to remember. When it comes to following God in your struggles, you need to do whatever it takes. Notice do is in all caps, D-O. That stands for the responding to Him desperately as your Savior, running to Him. And the O stands for obeying Him as Lord. See, so I tricked you into remembering everything because I put it all into the main idea. Ha-ha. When the trials come, we need to do whatever it takes. And what I mean by whatever it takes is whatever God is requiring from us. It doesn't matter if it doesn't feel right. It doesn't matter if it doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't matter if we think it's not going to work out right, because He knows better, just like He knew better in the life of this leper. Even if the leper thought, I'm doing good by talking about Jesus, it's going to be press, and I don't need to go to the temple, we're done with the law and all of this stuff. He thought His way was better, but no, Jesus' way is better. Even if we don't understand it at the time, if the Word of God is telling us to do something, we do it. Jesus is our Savior, is He also our Lord? We need to do whatever it takes in our struggle to get out. I'm going to close with an illustration, and then we're going to have our time of offering to close up our service. I've had a couple before, a teenage couple come to me, and the teenage girl, they were not married, was pregnant. And so they decided to disobey God and his rules on sex. And one of the results was that she became pregnant. And they're sitting there and we're discussing through, you know, what is next? What happens next? And I know that in the lives of a lot of teenagers who are in this type of situation, they think about the embarrassment. They think about the shame. They think about the consequences of having to deal with their parents and facing the music there and dealing with their friends and family. And if they go to church, their church, what are they going to think? They think about all this. The young girl thinks, I'm just a young girl. This is going to destroy my body. You know, it's going to stretch and all of these things. And then when it's all done, we're going to have this baby that we need to take care of the rest of my life. My youth is gone. And it seems a lot easier logically to just go to a clinic and get that baby killed, have an abortion. It seems logical to us, doesn't it? And yet, we've had people share their testimony here who've been in that situation and decided to have an abortion. And the consequence they've faced in their life, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, have far outweighed what they would have gone through to have to face the music with their parents, to have to go through with it, to have to deal with that by now deciding to be obedient to what the Lord would require. We've heard testimony after testimony on Sanctity of Human Life Sundays and services like this that just prove that even though it might not seem like God's way is going to be the best way for us, that it really is. And people wish they would have done that. Like the leper, he was healed, and then he thought he'd do it his own way, and Jesus had to retract from the towns as a result. We need to be willing to do whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Because God will offer us forgiveness when we fall. He'll offer us restoration. We've talked about that. That's who he is. He's our Savior, and he wants to be our Savior. When we call out to him, we can have that. But we need to obey him as Lord. If we're going through our struggles, we need to do what he says. Even if the money seems tight, he's commanding us to give. Even if the relationship seems dead, if you're married, he's commanding you to do what it takes to resurrect that marriage, to do what's right. Even if it seems hard, even if it seems impossible. He's our Lord, he's our Savior. Let's have the ushers come forward for the offering and those that are doing the song. As we go into prayer for the offering, I just want to have just a moment where we can just reflect, where we can confess where Jesus hasn't been Lord in our life. Maybe you're here today and you would say, I don't even know that he's my Savior. I don't know that I've trusted in him to be saved. You can do that. I'm gonna pray, and you can follow a prayer of how to trust in him for the first time. But let's spend some time with the Lord and confess some things, do some business with God now. Father, if there's somebody here today who has never trusted in your Son Jesus to save them from their sin, to usher them into a relationship with you finally, a relationship that they can draw on and be joyful for the rest of their life, and a relationship that ushers them into heaven and helps and get frees them up from the eternity of hell. If somebody has never done that, I pray they would do that right now, that they would quit waiting and they would say this to you. They would say, God, I know that I've sinned. I know that I'm imperfect and I've fallen short of your perfect standard. I realize that. I pray they would say something to you, Lord, like this, that they would say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, paid my penalty, and I would like to receive that forgiveness and that payment today. Lord, if somebody did that today, I pray, I know you forgive them. I know if somebody humbly comes to you and asks for you to save them, you are willing. I know that happened. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work in them, to build them up and to renew them. I pray they would find comfort in you. Even if their struggles don't go away, that they would draw to you and find the real comfort and real healing during those times. Lord, for the rest of us who have trusted in you to save us, but we don't depend on you when the struggles come. We forget to trust in you all over again, or we don't obey you, and we bring our own struggles on because we're not obeying you as Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Help us to get into your word all over again with a commitment to obey it. Lord, if there's somebody here who ought to be giving, like this leper should have been giving his sacrifice, but they're not, I pray, Lord, that this would be a commitment they would start again. Lord, if there's somebody, a husband, who's decided they're not willing to work with their wife anymore to heal a marriage, or a wife who's decided they're no longer willing to work with their husband to heal a marriage, or if there's a son or a daughter here who isn't willing to listen to their parents, or whatever, Lord, anybody is struggling with here, but it's a sin and they need to overcome it and they need to confess it to you, I pray they would, and that, Lord, you would forgive them and that you would renew them and they would find the strength in you to do what's right. Father, we give you these offerings. As an act of worship, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would use it to advance your kingdom, Lord, in our midst and far beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.